Hello, and welcome to the Eve Reader Podcast. My name is Zendane, and this is episode 27, Intercession. Location, Imperial Academy School, Dipari 2, Domain, January, YC-108. Midas Sarwedd laughed aloud at the student across the table.
Nabby, stick to piloting. Engineering is clearly not your thing.
He lifted the circuit board from the table and shook it lightly, jolting loose several chips and solder links.
What a damn mess!
Nababa Azan frowned and snatched the admittedly poorly done board back.
Screw you, Midas.
It wasn't that he couldn't do it. It was that building this sort of thing was dull. He doubted he'd ever be building, just using and occasionally repairing such things. Not that he would admit that to his brother's jerk friend. Nababa stood and strode across the room to sit at a different table. The other young man next to Midas spoke up.
You have to quit picking on him, man.
Taza Azan found the banter between the pair exhausting. It had been going on since grade school.
Hell, you think he was your younger brother, not mine. Besides, he's smarter than either of us, and you know it.
Midas shrugged.
Someone has to pop his bubble. Might as well be me. Don't want him starting to think he's better than everyone else just because he skipped a year.
Location, Imperial Academy School, Dipari 2, June, YC-110. Who knows? We may hook up again sometime. I hear most capsuleers don't stay in their initial assignment more than a few months. Midas seemed a bit dejected as he said it. He raised his glass toward Taza.
Good luck out there.
Taza raised his glass as well, knocking the mugs together in a toast. Nababa bumped his against Taz's as well, but Midas quickly downed his drink and stood up from the bar table, rather than do the same.
Keep Nabby here out of trouble.
He turned his back and headed for the door. Nababa shook his head.
Good riddance. I know he grew up with us, Taza, but I have no idea what you still see in him. Is anything other than a waste of the space he is? Plus, continuing to make fun of my name when we're all adults? Really?
You've always let him get to you too easily. He's just always been there. It'll be weird without him, so I'll miss him. Come on, we have a convoy to be in.
Location, Solar System T-TAC IP-ZB, Laredo Station, near Planet 8. March 10, YC-111. Nababa banked his Prophecy-class battlecruiser into a holding pattern around the station. While officially not part of the Amar Empire, Delve was effectively considered a territory. Since Empress Jamal Serum's return, she had exercised an almost proprietary approach to the region that had cradled her in exile, and in particular, this system. Nababa opened the comm channel to the station.
Ready to take over, Taza?
In the 2 years they'd been here, Taza had risen through the ranks to become the lead Amar Navy commander on station. While not a high-ranking role in the grand scheme of the Empire, it made him a big fish in a small pond. Nababa wanted no part of station time and preferred to be in space.
Nah,
said Taza.
You're doing fine out there.
Any new orders?
Bring it on, hang on a sec.
Nababa altered course into a wider orbit, dropping back in the pattern. It wasn't long before Taza spoke again. His voice was uncharacteristically urgent.
Planet One, go now. Go, go, go.
Nababa was a good pilot, but a fully tanked Prophecy was not an agile creature. As he began to alter course, he already knew something was horribly wrong. The camera drones lost picture and started to white out, awash in excess light. Aura attempted to adjust, but at best it simply became a bit more blue. The comm channel crackled and popped with static. The ship leapt into warp. One of the problems with warp travel is that once the drive reaches critical velocity, it can't be undone. You are warping where you aimed, and there is no going back. There wasn't anything Nababa could do as the radiation alarm began to howl. From his console several AU away, Taza saw the disaster his brother was headed toward. The system's sun had suddenly thrown out a massive energy burst, and then a solar flare of simply impossible size. The blue coronal flare reached out to T-TAC IZ-PB-1, knocking the planet sideways in its orbit. The planet itself caught fire, boiling into molten plasma and ejecting large pieces of its surface crust into space from the impact. The Prophecy dropped out of warp only a few hundred kilometers from the jet of plasma at its full impact. Only the dual 1600mm armor plates prevented the ship from melting immediately upon dropping out of warp. Nababa's top of his class reflexes banked just in time to keep the thickest part of the shielding between him and the flare as he realigned for a high-speed pod ejection. He felt the unbearable heat even through his ship, pod, and fluid. His crew died instantly as the hull breached. Nababa's pod ejected and warped off, scorched and battered.
After an hour or so, Taza was finally able to control the bile crawling up the back of his throat as he looked at his brother's ruined features through the surgical room window. Nababa had not regained consciousness. The lead surgeon came out of the operating room. "You're the brother?"
"Yes, I'm Taza."
"He'll pull through, but he'll never be the same, I'm afraid."
"Why didn't he activate to a new clone?"
"The massive radiation burst from the flare destroyed his neural scanner before the injuries. When the pod fluid boiled, giving him all those third-degree burns, it also fused the implants to the bones of his skull. They won't ever be coming out." The doctor paused.
"The strange thing is that his comm implant, it's generating massive brainwave activity despite the fact it's no longer connected. And in fact, it shouldn't even function as far as I can tell. It has probably burned and scarred his brain tissue as well. He may never be able to wake up, much less speak, walk. Honestly, I'm a bit surprised he's breathing on his own."
Who are you?
"A friend."
"Why does it hurt so much?"
"There is a place where weakness of flesh is irrelevant. I will help you find it. But first, you must help me. There will be time to sleep later. For now, awake."
Location: Civic Court Tribunal Station, Penerdman 9, April, YC-112. The wheels of bureaucracy were slow, but at last, Taza was in fact his brother's keeper by law. Nababa had slowly recovered. They had needed to strip one of Nababa's clones of skin to replace his own, but that left him looking like some sort of stitched-together monster. His ears didn't quite line up. His eyes had, thankfully, been able to be regrafted from a clone. As far as the doctors could tell, he wasn't in pain, at least not often, but they feared he might not in fact feel anything anymore, so many of his nerves had been destroyed. This was borne out by the fact that he was often found inexplicably bloody from a cut or bruised in some unknown bump. His head lolled off to one side more often than not. His brain had recovered in strange ways. He would never inhabit a capsule again. He could not stand. He could only speak in short bursts, as often as not incoherent. But he was alive with activity on scans. He could clearly see, and tried sometimes to respond. Amazingly, his hands, once renowned for their clumsiness, were now able to master the finest of movements, and he had found a sudden and inexplicable interest in circuitry.
I can't get this to work. The puzzle is too complicated."
"You're not trying hard enough."
"Damn you, I've got the algorithms down. Almost 2,500 pieces and all the links between them. I can keep them all linked and in perpetual motion now, but it's all I can do to prevent it from flying apart. I can't control it. I need help."
"You need to look deeper at the pieces."
"I need this computer to work for that, and the materials aren't good enough. This stuff won't work. It's the best I can do with this stupid body."
"Ah, that's better. You begin to see the transitive nature of flesh."
"Shut up. What are my other options?"
"Methanofullerene."
"Wormholes. Of course."
Taza turned to his brother's wheelchair and pushed him down the long hallway toward the hangar. He watched as Nababa ran his fingers delicately over the circuit board in his lap, tracing the connections. He paused to wait while the hangar entry door opened.
"Well, brother, where now?"
"Worms go in. Worms go out."
"Works for me."
Location: Class 5 Wormhole Space, Catalog J121146. June, YC-113. It had been a stressful year for Taza. Wormhole life was hard. You spent most of your time in the pod, and you lived in constant fear of a cloaked enemy dropping in on you while you worked or transited. Finding your way out of the maze was often difficult, but the pay was good, as well as the companionship. They had succeeded well enough to move up to a Class 5 system after a few months in a Class 2. The year had been hard on his relationship with Nababa as well. There was little room in the POS tower for him, and his POS mates resented having to devote a significant portion of the minimal floor space to Naboba's electronics obsession. Nababa also had trouble caring for himself, and Taza constantly had to drop out of ops to make sure things were okay with his brother. In wormhole space, tolerances were short for those who didn't pull their own weight. Finally, tonight was the night. He looked down at his brother, reached out a cloth to wipe the spittle from his chin. The action was gentle and almost subconscious.
"Nababa, I've got to start bringing you with me," Taza sighed. "It will be more dangerous for you, but it will be worse for both of us if I don't. I've custom rigged an escape pod. That'll be your seat for the trip."
Nababa gave two thumbs up.
The Loki just cloaked. I have Phobos, Proteus, Tengu, Damnation, Archon on scan.
The scout's voice had the characteristic waver of comms transiting wormholes.
We're ready on this side. When he calls point, I want our prophecy next. We want to escalate this. When the Phobos lands, we'll take our own Hick and the rest of the DPS crew. Guardians, hold until I call you, please.
10 ships, mostly Proteus-class strategic cruisers and Guardian-class logistics cruisers, sat on a slowly vibrating wormhole exit. Taza steered his Proteus in a tight orbit around the event horizon of the hole.
Loki is decloaking. He's 20K off the hole. Point.
The Prophecy-class battlecruiser jumped through.
Secondary point. Webbed. He's going down. Slowly.
Their Phobos has landed. Bubble up.
DPS and Hick, jump, bubble up.
They're landing. Call primaries.
Get the Tengu first. All DPS on the Tengu.
Archon, carrier on grid. Moros, on scan.
Tackle that carrier. Guardians, jump, jump, jump.
Taza felt good about their chances, so long as that Moros didn't join the party.
I can feel them.
I know.
They are cowards.
They seek simply to survive, as we all do.
Can I do this?
Try it.
Gravity.
Mass, actually. But yes.
Everyone, back on the hole, now!
The directional scan had come flashing to life. 3 Moros-class dreadnoughts, 5 Loki-class strategic cruisers sure to be covered in webs, 5 more Tengu-class strategic cruisers all too likely to be ECM projectors.
The second tick just jumped back to our side.
The Moros dreadnoughts landed, and the targeting alarms came to life. Taza jumped through the hole.
Oh, I'm going down. 50% armor.
Came a call from the rear guard on the enemy side of the hole.
Structured. Ah, fuck!
Taza winced, knowing that the pilot typically carried a full set of very expensive slave implants, now molten slag in his floating corpse. The FC picked up seamlessly.
Line out, burn, overheat, go, go, go!
Push him.
I could do that?
You set the trap. Spring it.
The enemy FC fumed. 1 damned Proteus to show for this? With all the firepower they had brought? No, no, not today.
Lokis, jump. Moros, jump. Blap them and come back. This hasn't gone shrink yet. It will hold.
The Lokis jumped, and it held. Then the Moros jumped. For some reason no one could explain, the hole collapsed. Taza laughed as he set down the dinner tray on his brother's wheelchair lap desk.
Looks like you're a good luck charm after all. Never seen anything like it. What a massacre!
With the Moros stranded, it and its Loki and Hick partners were soon overwhelmed with no escape or reinforcement available. It was the Corp's first capital kill since moving into their Class 5 home. Naboba smiled.
Was not pleased.
At them, you mean? Yeah, sort of serves them right for trying to dunk us so hard. Wormhole space moves in mysterious ways.
The Corp named its new home Victory. Naboba gave 2 thumbs up. Location, Class 5 wormhole space. Catalog J121146, Victory. As it turned out, good luck was putting it mildly. So long as they fought hard and Taza continued to keep his brother happy, things seemed to keep going their way. For 2 years, their corporation had thrived and grown. There was no clear reason behind it, but whenever things could have gone one way or another, they always seemed to break Taza's way. Wormholes that should have collapsed didn't. Convenient connections came at the best possible times. Fights that they should have lost due to being outnumbered were won by enemy stupidity, accident, overconfidence, or cowardice. Taza had bought a Venture-class mining frigate and hired a captain and crew to be Naboba's full-time caretaker and adventure guides. The little yellow ship was outfitted with a small mobile electronics lab and all the methanofullerene their station reactor could supply. The FC chuckled over comms as Taza docked from another successful fight.
Bob is pleased, guys.
The rest laughed. It made Taza a bit uncomfortable, probably a throwback to his Amar upbringing. The wormholes had invented themselves a capricious god, who they called Bob due to not having any other name. Bob was in the roll of the dice, the flip of the coin, and the predictable yet entirely unpredictable nature of wormhole space. Bob loved an underdog, a brave fight, a call to action, but no one actually thought he was real, other than a handful of crazies who styled themselves Bob's prophets. Taza walked across the docking bay and up the ramp into Naboba's venture. His brother sat quietly in his wheelchair as always, head askew, hands moving carefully as his tools trace a delicate array of methanofullerene paths on the boards. He didn't know what Naboba was making, but he did know he'd never seen anything quite like it. Hopefully it would be something that would eventually be useful and set them both up for retirement. He set a hand on Naboba's shoulder.
I've got some great news, bro. Guess who joined the Corp?
From down the ramp, a familiar voice called, "Hey, you up there? Nabby, nice ship. I bet you get lots of kills in this thing." Midas Sarward poked his head into the tiny lab room. Even his glib tongue was tied briefly as he looked on the ruined body that sat in the wheelchair. Midas finally let out a low whistle. "Man, Nabby, you look like hell." Nabobo raised his middle finger.
"Not name."
This brought a chuckle from Midas. Nabobo continued to hold his finger up for a few beats too long.
Okay.
Midas looked around the room and shifted uncomfortably. "See you guys out in the hangar then." He turned and departed from the ship.
"Don't look at me that way, Nabobo. Midas is going to be a great asset to us. He's a veteran of the Saw of Wars and he has great combat experience. It'll be good for all of us to fly together again."
Location: Class 5 Wormhole Space, Catalog J121146, May, YC-115. As the months wore on, Midas and Tara spent more time together. Despite being a Saw of War veteran, Midas wasn't much for combat at all, it had turned out. He was interested in the money they could get from selling nano-ribbons. Every day, he agitated for more fleets attacking the sleepers. Other capsuleers that visited their system were hidden from, safely behind the shields of one of their starbases. When ships were found on the directional scanner, Midas hurried everyone to safety. Losses dropped, and profits rose. Nabobo didn't go on Taza's ship much anymore. There were no combat missions of note to be had. It was safer to leave him at home, floating in his venture.
"You are taking a great risk."
"This can't continue."
"It is too soon for you to release your mortal shell. The prototypes are great progress, but not sufficient."
"I won't die. These can be manipulated by their hearts, their minds, or the situation. The puzzle can be shifted one way or another."
"You act the part of a poor friend."
"They have become that which they once despised. They have sold their souls for Isk and not remained true to their ideals."
"And you are to punish them?"
"It is time for them to learn the puzzle like all the rest."
Location: Class 5 Wormhole Space, Catalog J100820. Local name: R3. The image filled the screen of the war room and was carefully studied by the two men. The brown-haired man with the chin beard frowned as he stared at the screen. The sheer volume of Isk and ships reported by the spy and shown on the video captures was hard to believe. He turned to the bearded man beside him.
"I think this smells like a trap, Bish. These people had an unbelievable kill record up until about 3 months ago, then it just suddenly stopped. They barely had a fight since. And while we're getting fed this info, we don't even know the guy. No one has met him or talked to him."
The black-haired, full-bearded man in the tan jacket shrugged.
"Can't hurt to check it out, Horatio. Besides, who leaves that many caps floating? We could always use a few new caps. I'll get some scanners in there and try to verify it."
Location: Class 5 Wormhole Space, Catalog J121146, local name Victory. September, YC-115. They never saw it coming. Wormhores had a particularly vicious trick they reserved for regular sight runners. Essentially, they powered down all of their systems and sat silently for days at a time, cruiser-sized holes of dark matter just beyond the outer edge of a system, until the moment when they simultaneously brought all their systems to life and immediately warped to their targets. One moment, Taza and Midas had a large fleet destroying sleepers in a sight. The next, they were surrounded by a horde of Loki and Proteus strategic cruisers, backed by Archon-class carriers and Moros-class dreadnoughts, bearing the insignia of a winged skull and a top hat. Taza's legion disintegrated around him, and he barely had a chance to feel relief that his brother was safely back at the Paws before his pod was obliterated and he reawoke in Amar. Most of the fleet suffered the same fate, pinned down by the invaders and torn apart by the sleepers. Midas was not so lucky that day. He left alive in his pod, but was warp disrupted continuously by a lone pilot in a Cheetah covert ops frigate. He called desperately for help, but none came. He got to listen on near-field comms as the dreadnoughts and a fleet of Tornado and Oracle-class battlecruisers disabled all but one of the starbases in the system. Only then did they return to his lonely collared pod and simultaneously unloaded massive amounts of ordnance into its tiny shell. The massive dreadnought shells left nothing of his corpse to retrieve. 2 days later, the starbases disintegrated in a hail of weapons fire, and the invaders left. The CEO was back relatively quickly, as was Taza. They didn't hear from Midas for some time. It seemed that whenever he came back in a wormhole, he either got attacked or collapsed in with no way out. Location: Class 5 Wormhole Space, Catalog J121146, local name Victory. October, YC-115.
"We've lost our way, friends." The CEO stood in the war room of the rebuilt starbase, arms crossed over his chest.
Midas Sarwedd has left the Corp. We will not be attacking the sleepers tonight. Real or not, it's time to get back in Bob's good graces. Let's get out there and let's roll the hole.
The farming fleet they found in the new static connection managed to get less than a third of its ships out. A wandering high-sec hole opened only a couple of jumps from Jita. It was a good night. As he celebrated with the other pilots, Taza missed his usual evening time to check on Nabobe.
It's done.
Plug it in and try.
Taza stumbled through the hangar and up the ramp into Naboba's ship. Immediately, he sensed something amiss, but in his drunken state, he didn't realize that what was confusing his brain was the empty wheelchair. Naboba inexplicably lay upon the lab table, circuit board across his belly, and wires tapped into his old, fused capsular implants. He looked peaceful, happy even. Taza checked for a pulse and found a strong one. Not wanting to unplug his brother from something he didn't understand, he sat in Naboba's chair to wait, and soon fell asleep. Taza dreamed of their childhood in their parents' home, sitting with his brother in their shared bedroom. Boba, he hadn't called him that in ages, why was he thinking that now, was playing with a tiny toy spaceship. Strangely, it was a Venture, a ship class that didn't exist when they were children.
What's wrong, Taza?
I'm not sure, Boba. Am I dreaming this?
You might be. I am. It's time, Taza.
Time for what?
For me to go. I want to thank you for all you've done for me these years. Now it's my turn to watch out for you.
The little boy walked over to him and wrapped his arms around his older brother.
I love you, brother. Fly well.
Taza woke with a start. The engines of the Venture were humming softly. The crew were not on board. Naboba was strapped into the conventional pilot's chair, his body hunched over the controls. Cables led from the controls to the board and then into his implants.
Boba? What? Let's get you back into the chair and safe.
Naboba straightened as much as he could and mustered a single firm word.
Go!
Location, Class 3 Wormhole Space, Catalog J170376, November, YC-115. Boba guided the Venture lower, ignoring the awakened upholder sleeper cruisers as they fell in beside, above, and below. They did not open fire as he descended towards the pulsating blue lights of the disk. Alighting in the center, the docking clamps connected with a metallic clang. The ship's airlock opened, and the stale air of the Oru's construct filled the cabin, smelling of dust and ozone. Boba dragged himself to the portal, and was perhaps surprised to find a floating platform awaiting him. Draped across it, he was carried through the massive dome of the sleeper enclave, blue light pulsing all around him. A coffin-like vertical bed with a clear acrylic cover stood open along the wall, waiting. Strangely, it looked new, as if it had been built yesterday, unlike the many dust-covered cells filled with dim humanoid shapes nearby. He connected his custom board to the leads within, and as the cover closed, he fell asleep. The sun felt warm on Boba's face, and the grass on the hilltop soft and a bit scratchy under his bare hand as he leaned down to touch it. A light breeze blew, and the smell of flowering trees nearby filled the air. The man beside him spoke in a reassuringly familiar voice.
Do you like it?
It's amazing, better than anything I could possibly hope for.
Good. This is why we fight, and why we must defend ourselves. Now that you know how to harness the system, and you are here where you can focus your power, it is time for you to learn what must be done, and why. A new offensive is approaching. Come, Bob. Your destiny waits for you.
The pair headed down the hill toward the shining city in the distance. This concludes today's reading of Episode 27, Intercession. Thank you for listening. If you are interested in learning more about the rich history of the EVE universe, please visit the EVE Chronicles site at community.eveonline.com/background/POTW. Copyright information regarding the Chronicles in this podcast may be found at evereader.org/copyright.html. Additional voices for today's episode were provided by Aaron Hotchkiss, Callista Dalmore, Dose119, John Clark, Miitis, and Weasel421. Today's episode has been brought to you by Allotech Industries. For your ship-to-ship communication, Allotech Industries' Primogen fluid routers provide the clearest communication possible for the discerning capsuleer. Was this your last fleet engagement?
Okay, guys, in a pause. Align to your outbound gate. Get ready to jump.
Did he say jump to the pause?
Yeah, what? Oh, Roger. Okay, jumping carriage to the pause beacon. Ah, shit! Hostiles! I need an exit sign now!
Avoid costly mistakes and unnecessary clone activations. Insist only upon top-of-the-line Primogen fluid routers for your ship today.